Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Marta McDonald.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. Dive in with us as we talk to the artists of the 2023 season
and get a behind-the-scenes peek at the seven fantastic shows happening this summer.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front-row seat.
See you at the theater. Welcome back to the 2023 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples. We are in the MyFM studio, which looks out on the St. Lawrence River, surrounded by the beautiful Thousand Islands. My name is Allison Hess.
And I'm Marta McDonald. Thank you for joining us for the sixth episode of the 2023 season. In today's episode, we're talking about an enchanting tale of love and loss, following dreams, and walking away.
Wait, no.
What, we aren't discussing wants?
Well, yes, but you're not Marta. Marta's working at TIFF this week and isn't able to join us.
Oh, right. Well, I'm Tyler Check, and I play Guy in Once, actually.
Oh. And I'm Chris Barilaro, and I'm the music director for Once.
Oh, welcome. Yeah, that got really confusing for a second there.
So confusing.
Sorry to our listeners. You must have been like, oh, Marta, you've changed.
It felt so good. I love Marta and miss her dearly. So I just wanted to, you know, step into the role a little bit.
Perfect. Well, thank you, too, for joining us. As you just heard, Chris is the music director for Once, and Tyler plays Guy. Not Guy. You're not French.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be. That could be kind of a new take on it.
Yeah. I could get you to help me out.
So thank you, too, for joining us in studio today. And as Tyler / Marta mentioned, we are discussing Once, which is a Tony Award-winning best musical about a Dublin street musician who spends his days fixing vacuums and his nights playing music in local pubs. On the verge of giving up music altogether, he meets a woman who takes a sudden interest in his haunting love songs. If that doesn't sell it to you, I don't know what will.
I want to go see it. I get to watch it, which is great.
Which is awesome. Every night. But before we jump in, we always like to get to know our guests a little bit better. So for Chris, you actually were here at the Playhouse. This is not your debut. You were here in 2019 for Anne of Green Gables. And you also music directed You Are Here.
I orchestrated it, actually, which was really fun. I didn't get to stay in Gann that time, though. I was here for like 2 days for two band rehearsals, and then I got to see the show in the run. But I did most of my work at home in Montreal.
That's amazing. And for our audience, what is a bit of the difference between like being a music director versus someone who's doing orchestrations, like an orchestrator?
Yeah, sure. So an orchestrator is someone who takes the composer's music. And in this case, it was a brand new musical, so there were no parts written for musicians yet.
Cool.
The composer had created a piano vocal score, which is basically just a piano part with the vocal lines. And then our job as an orchestrator is to come in and sort of like color it. Like if you imagine that the composer makes a sketch and then like the orchestrator has to come in and like color it in and like in a coloring book and make it pretty and choose which instruments play and all of that versus a music director who takes the material that's already created and puts it together, whether that be vocal parts or orchestral parts or a little bit of both like in this show. We're just sort of like a director is to a play, we do the same thing with the music for a show.
Oh, that's amazing. And I think educational for our audience because I think we think, oh, there's the music. And
right. And
then they play it, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, some people who compose might not understand all the different instruments. So
yeah, it does tend to happen a lot, in fact, that it's a separate job. There are some composers who like to do both, but more often than not, it's really is two separate jobs. And then throw in an arranger, and that's a third thing
right.
as well.
Right. Yeah. Oh, amazing. And I also, I was looking through your bio, and you were based out of Montreal, right?
I am indeed.
And so many cool things that you've done down there. But one thing that really stood out to me, and I had talked to one of our performers from Sound of Music, the Belle Sœur, the musical, as well as the French version that ran the... which, can you tell us a bit about what that was like? Because that was a brand new musical, the French version, and then they... you know, translated it and but it would be different in English, right? It's just a direct translation.
No, it's fascinating. So of course it's a play that was written by Michel Tremblay in the 60s and like huge works played all over the world in like I I might be misquoting this, but I feel like it's like 40 languages or something is what I remember hearing. It's incredible. And in 2010, René Richard Cyr and Daniel Bélanger decided to collaborate on making a musical theater version in French, which was like one of the first théâtre musical, in that it wasn't just like a concert. It really was, the songs were helping to move the story along. In any case, that was a huge hit in French, and then it was adapted at the Siegel Center into an English musical, but that was actually, funnily enough, by the same team that did You Are Here. It's Neil Bartram and Brian Hill.
Amazing.
Who adapted the René Richard Cyr and Daniel Bélanger version into a new English version that had a great life and like toured. We did four cities, which was really great.
And then something happened, and then the pandemic.
And then, well, actually, before that, then there was a remount of the French production.
Oh, wow.
And I hadn't worked on the original French one, and I got to step in and do the new version of the French musical.
Right.
Too. So I like spent something like 4 to 5 years with that show.
Amazing. Yeah. We spoken with Marcia Tratt.
Oh my gosh, I love Marcia Tratt.
Yeah, she was in Sound of Music. So we spoke a bit about, if you attended our Doc Talks, we spoke a bit about her experience in the English version.
Yeah.
And it just sounded amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. Amazing. Well, thank you, Chris. Tyler, you're actually from Kingston.
I am indeed.
So kind of not quite hometown, but close enough.
Close enough, absolutely. You still get the hometown vibes for sure. And I used to spend lots of time always seeing things at the Playhouse and spending time in Gans. So it's amazing to be back.
Amazing.
For sure.
And it's kind of wild to think like you grew up in Kingston and you're a performer and an artist. But last year was your debut at TIP. You were in Jersey Boys with us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild that like you'd spent so much time here. And then last year is the first time you were here. So.
Definitely. Welcome back.
So
happy to be back. I mean, I immediately like came into town and was like, oh yeah, this, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously I'm biased too, but Gananoque is lovely. You've done a lot of the kind of musician musicals, Buddy, Jersey Boys, but something that I would love to talk just a bit about is your interest in some of these D&D shows that you've been doing.
So
Tyler, I've looked a little bit about it, and if anyone out there knows about D&D, it's an amazing kind of role-playing fantasy game with 20-sided die, and it's pretty awesome. But you've kind of taken it and made it into an interactive performance. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
I mean, I was hoping you'd. I definitely I can't come on the podcast without talking about D&D.
Of course not.
When we did that episode back in the pandemic and chatted about it, I really loved that. Yeah, so like honestly, from there, it just became a thing where as the world started to open up a bit and we were able to do things again, it was like, okay, so I found this love for Dungeons and Dragons during the pandemic. What do we do with that now? Because people aren't available for games all the time, you know, things. I think anyone who's played can understand that. Not that anyone wants to go back there, but that nostalgia for the time we could be like, okay, same time next week, and everyone was available.
Right.
So that just became getting those artists and those people who, just the circles that I run in, it's a lot of performers, together and being like, what could this look like as a show? And actually, huge shout out to the Kick and Push Festival in Kingston for giving us the space and the opportunity to come down to Kingston and do this first production of this show, Role Models, an improvised Dungeons and Dragons role play in kind of the downtown park.
Right.
So that was really fun to get kind of initial things there. And then from there, we've moved it to inside venues, kind of comedy clubs, bars, little performance spaces like that. So it's just a little almost traveling band of people now. There's been a lot of different casts that have done it. And it's something that whenever we're able to in a city, we try and run a show. Hopefully, I mean, stay tuned. There might be one in Kingston at some point while we're here.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's kind of like, you know, improv, but a combination of improv with narrative. Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah. So the improvisers on stage would kind of like portray the characters that have been built. But the characters that have been built were created by audience members.
Oh,
and
very
the decisions
cool.
are made by. So I would, as the DM or the Dungeon Master, would ask the audience members what they would like to do. They would roll for it, and then whatever happens from there is played out by the actor. So it's a back and forth, and really it's just trying to get as close as we can with a full room of people being able to share in that Dungeons and Dragons magic together.
Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, so keep an eye out at that in Kingston, potentially.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to pivot a bit to Once, which is why we're here, which is based on a movie of the same name from 2007, which some of our audience may know some of the songs. I think one of their songs won Best Song at the Oscars in 2008. So a transition from film to stage. But I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I love Once, and it's a really interesting musical because we did Sound of Music earlier this season, which we call a book musical. The songs are written to kind of forward the plot and to get into the headspace of where the characters are, and then you have something more like Jersey Boys that has a plot and a story, but the songs already exist. And this one's sort of kind of almost in between. So I'd love for you guys, someone to talk about kind of. How would you even describe what kind of musical Once is?
That's a great question. Ooh. It's definitely unique. I think I try and think of other shows that are like it. I'm sure there are other ones out there. This is my first show like this that, mm-hmm. I've done. That's a bit off the out of the ordinary in terms of its structure. And in this, because like Tyler's character Guy and Girl are actual musicians, there's music that's happening that is like diegetic. It's part of the story.
Right.
It's actually happening.
Right.
Versus like there are most numbers in other musicals are what you'd call non-diegetic, so they don't actually happen.
Right.
It's, you know, it's happening in people's
in their minds. Yeah.
In their minds. But in this case, I think, is all of the music like actually happening live?
I think so. I'm still obsessed with diegetic. What was that word again?
That's from my that shout out to my McGill music class. I had one on like film scoring or something.
Yeah, McGill.
You went to McGill too?
McGill music, man.
No way. Oh, nice. Yeah. But diegetic means it's like part of the story. And like actually happening.
So like if you saw Jersey Boys last year when the Four Seasons are rehearsing a song and they're singing it, that's diegetic, right?
Absolutely.
It's happening in real life versus, you know, Maria singing I Have Confidence, that she's sort of singing that kind of in her head and not everybody else knows that she's singing it, right? It's not happening in the real world.
Exactly. What is neat about Once is that of course, like Tyler's character is actually playing, but he's being supported by the other mm-hmm. 10 members of the company sometimes who aren't supposed, like their characters aren't necessarily actually playing instruments.
Mm.
They are like supporting him in terms of community through their instruments rather than like your dad's not sitting there actually playing, you know, the mandolin in a number. It's just like a supportive.
So it's almost like a little bit of a combination.
Yeah.
Almost. And I know I sat in on one rehearsal and there was a lot of discussion in that first day, talking through the songs and what is this song and whose kind of heart song is it? And how does it, like, there's a lot of conversation, not just like, okay, and now he plays a song, but the actual meaning behind it and where it puts you in the story versus some of the other characters.
Yeah, I think this is, and I know I've brought this up to Chris before, we've kind of had chats about it. I think it's really special and it's cool that we kind of started this off with your talking about orchestrating and arranging and stuff, because there's some ways where this is very much that kind of style of like they're aware they're playing the songs. He's a singer-songwriter, so it's just kind of his tunes.
Mm-hmm.
But the arrangements and what instruments play what lines and what melodies throughout the show, it really feels in that sense that there's like no fluff. There's nothing that is just a strumming guitar for the fact that like let's throw a strumming guitar
right.
on that, which might lean you more towards that. And I wouldn't even say Jersey Boys because that's such a well-written show
yes.
as well. But some of those shows where it's a pop song, so you're playing a pop tune, these might be more singer-songwriter songs. But there's a very specific reason why that piano is doing that little line or that violin hits that line. And then the mandolin plays that line in a different part but at a different time. That's almost giving, like, dare I say, Sondheim vibes
right.
of, like, every melody being important and being a part of telling the story.
And almost like the instruments are characters as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah.
It's
oh,
like there's
cool.
something that happens when, I mean, even in, I'm not giving away too much because
no.
it's within the first
yeah.
two scenes. When the two of you are playing Falling Slowly, it just starts with piano and guitar. And then there's an amazing moment where, like, you know, one violin comes in,
oh, cool.
then a second violin comes in two bars later, and then the cello kicks in two bars later, and then everybody comes in with the bass.
Yeah.
And, like, all the guitar strumming. And it just, like, takes the, like, whatever feeling you're having. As someone who's on the outside listening, it definitely helps transport you as an audience member.
Yeah. And it feels like you don't even have to like, as an audience, or just when you're experiencing it, or even just hearing it around me for the first time, you don't necessarily need to know right then why it's that instrument at that point. But you know there's a reason.
Yeah.
Like, and you could go deep. It's the same with, there's such an economy of language in this show as well, with how they use text, that, like, they're not always saying everything, but every line is just so necessary. It's just boiled down to what's critically there, and so much underneath it. It makes a lot of sense that you would walk in to us having that conversation, because there's so many of those conversations to be had in this room about it. There's such a wealth of information there to explore.
Right, not just surface level.
Absolutely. You're in there being, it's such a great feeling to finish a day of rehearsal and be like, yeah, I could go deeper tomorrow. Like,
that's
absolutely
awesome.
There's still going to be some more to learn.
That's awesome.
If you want another little tidbit, the opening
always
number is called Leave. And, you know, Tyler's character Guy is supposed to be busking, and he's out there and he's feeling kind of, you know, maybe not so great about his place and how music relates to his life and everything.
He's in a sad boy era for sure.
Sad boy era.
Sad boy guy. Yeah.
So he starts busking, and then, you know, the community behind him comes in five bars later, but basically the chorus is him saying, leave, get out, go away, and the orchestration drops out him saying, you know, you're already gone, and everyone's gone and he's alone. Like, stuff like that. There's so many beautiful
moments. So very, really thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I'm sure our audience has kind of gleaned, but another difference about this musical compared to something like Sound of Music is there isn't really a pit band, right? Everyone on stage sings and acts and plays multiple instruments.
Can you talk, dances
yeah, with their instruments. So can you talk a bit about what is that like to rehearse? Like, how do you even get started? Maybe a tidbit on, like, who plays the most instruments? And
a great starting point is to have an incredible music director
yes,
take the lead on the festival.
Tyler.
And we did, so we were off to a good start.
So sweet. That's very kind. I really did, because it's so different for me, I'm a bit of an over planner. So I spent, like, I think the last 2 months just planning, how do you rehearse this type of
right
show? And
because in, like, a typical show, just if you don't know, like, you have your band or your orchestra, and they rehearse separately. And then you have the music director who basically plays piano, and the singers sing, and you learn all the singing. And then, you know, closer to the start of the show, that's when you finally put everyone together in, like, a sits probe, right? Where
exactly,
it's like, okay, now we're putting the band and the singers together. But that's not how you're doing this, right?
Well, in this case, we had, you know, we did a first day of table work, went through the script, chatted about themes in the show, chatted about characters and what's important with Julie, our director. And on day two, we started placing vocals, which is what we would do normally on any musical. And then spent a whole day on vocals just to make sure everyone was comfy. Although we got Tyler and Melissa, who's playing Girl, in playing their instruments right away because they're amazing. And then on everyone was so excited to grab their instruments.
Oh, amazing.
And we finally did, like, band rehearsal with the cast. And I had said, you know, folks, you don't have to sing yet. We're going to focus on the instruments. But of course, everyone was already jumping and singing.
Of course.
Because it's a fantastic group of people. But those were the steps. We sort of did just vocals, then just instruments in theory, but we really started singing right away. And then the next level was adding Julie's staging and doing some dancing with those instruments as well.
And there's, like, a cello. So, like, someone's
there's
moving.
A dancing cello.
A dancing cello. Amazing. And like, it's all memorized as well, right? You know, like, like a pit band will have their music in front of them. And obviously, the singers are always rehearsed and memorized. But to have all of those elements on stage memorized, like, how's that been for you, Tyler?
There's definitely, I think, I would love to hear some of the incredible people that kind of get to support in a lot more of those songs, their opinion, like what the cello is feeling about that and the violin. But I know for myself, there's an ownership that, like, comes from it. Like, I know Chris and I got to spend a really awesome morning together. I can't remember if it was day two or day three. On day two, where I got the two from Chris with the hands. I appreciate it. We never really kind of sat down and, like, plunked out the melodies. Chris was just awesome and just kind of was like, you want to just do it? Like, we just played through the songs, guitar and voice at the same time, and kind of molded them and talked about them and shaped them together. And what you get is, like I don't really know if I ever looked at, like, the melody line of Leave, but it's Guy's song. He wrote it. So like that feels good. There's like an ownership of that that I think is really nice. And then I'll also go to bat for, and I did not expect this until I got on stage for the show, because where this differs from, say, a Buddy Holly story or other shows that I've played on, it's mostly electric instruments, electric guitar, electric bass, those kind of things, which have stationary sound sources like amps and things like this. This being mostly acoustic instruments, like the sound literally like swooshes around on stage the violin and the cello aren't just in one place the way you would hear an orchestra or a pit. They're dancing around you, and the acoustic piano is being moved while it's being played.
Oh, wow.
Like, you don't get to hear music sonically done like that a lot. And I think even though it will be amplified in the space, in the gorgeous Springer Theater that we're going to be in, there's still going to be that realness. The sounds are still going to cut through from the stage, and I think people are going to feel like they're just really in it, and hopefully they have a bit of an ownership of that as well.
Amazing. And who plays the most instruments?
That's a good question. I think it's Daniel.
Yeah.
It's probably Daniel.
Juno might be a sleeper agent with the
melodica and the harmonica. But I think Daniel's playing cajon, tambourine. He plays piano for a number. He's playing guitar in Act Two. He's playing mandolin a couple of times. I think he's the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like to just speak to like give Daniel some credit, like everyone is so talented and so like with it in this that like I didn't know that, and Daniel's like not making a point being like I'm playing so many instruments. He's just like effortlessly moving through it and giving. It's gorgeous. It's awesome.
Oh, and ukulele.
So oh, and ukulele.
He plays six.
Six
some
instruments
of them at the same time.
Yes, yeah. He plays cajon and ukulele at the same time, and then cajon and tambourine at the same time.
Wow.
With the price of admission right there. Come on.
That's amazing. And then just as the cherry on top, you're all doing accents.
Yes, we are. Yes. And two different ones. To add another layer to it, there's a Czech accent for some of the cast.
Well, there's like three almost, right? Czech and Dublin and then Cork.
And then Cork as well.
Yeah. So it's going to be wild. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Me too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what we like to do kind of at the end of all of our podcasts, because both of you have been here before, but for some of our audience, they may be coming out from Kingston or Ottawa. What is some place that you've really been enjoying while you've been in GAN that you're like, yeah, this is the place to go. This place is delicious.
My go-to restaurant in GAN is Riva.
Yes,
love
Riva.
It. It's amazing Italian food. It's as a half Italian myself, I tend to be pretty picky, and this place is delicious.
Awesome.
It's fantastic. And if I only go one place, like when I pop into town for something, it would be there.
Yeah. And I think they have a cool prefix, like theater prefix menu that you can do too, which is cool. Because
that's great.
They're like, yeah, make sure you get there to the theater on time. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Thanks, Chris.
Love that. That's huge. Any place that is like, we know why you're here.
Yeah.
You're coming to see the show and set you up for that. That's great. I know for me, day off vibes are often the pho hut.
Yeah, pho hut.
That's big for me, like a soup like that. And then if I'm going for a walk, doing a little Pokemon Go around the town, I'm definitely going to that amazing purple coffee shop. I'm blanking on the name, but it's right there on the main drag when you go by.
The Painted Turtle?
The Painted Turtle. That's the one.
Yeah.
Incredible.
No, they
really
have
cool vibes.
Great coffee and scones and sandwiches and stuff. So definitely check those out while you're in town. Well, thank you both for coming and chatting with me. Every time I talk to anybody involved in this production, I get so much more excited. I am like, no pressure whatsoever, but I think it's going to be a really special thing, and I'm really excited to see it all come together on stage. So thank you both for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Awesome. As always, we want to express special thanks to Mark Hunt for composing the Playhouse podcast music. This podcast is sponsored and produced by MyFM Gananoque. Many thanks to Carrie and the MyFM team for all of their help. And for more ticket information, please visit us at ThousandIslandsPlayhouse.com. Oh, and we always do this thing at the end where we say these words.
Nice.
We'll do 1, 2, 3. Ready?
Love it.
1, 2, 3.
See you at the theater.
Awesome.